Hey there, I'm Stacey Leone from My Home Life on Eastside Radio. I'm so glad you could join us to check out this interview. And if you'd like to listen to the entire episode, head on over to eastsidefm.org/My Home Life. Hope you enjoy it. And a big thanks to our show sponsors, Shore Financial. The way we live has dramatically altered over the past few years, and as a result, we're demanding a lot more from our homes in terms of functionality than ever before. And to find out what's changed, we're talking to Karen Muller from Real Living Interiors. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Thanks, Stacey. Beautiful day today, isn't it?
It is gorgeous out there, Karen. It's lovely to see this bright spring weather. Karen, at the start of the pandemic, we'd sweep the toast crumbs off the dining table and set up our home office for the day. But as time went on, we started to realise that we probably needed a longer-term solution if we were going to be spending huge amounts of time at home and for our homes to operate at optimal capacity. What changes did you see people making to their homes in those early days of COVID?
It was quite an interesting phenomenon, actually, Stacey, to be part of the interior design world during COVID. There wasn't a massive shift, I wouldn't say, until we realised that COVID was an issue and here to stay. So there was a lot of requirements for the flexibility in floor plans. Definitely people working from home was a massive request to be able to do floor plans which actually accommodated multiple people trying to have their own space within the home. We had university students and adults, young adults that were renting, coming back to home. We had kids working, doing schoolwork at home. So there was a real shift in people requiring their own space within the household to be able to do their day-to-day chores or work as it was and have privacy. It was a very tricky time for a lot of people.
I'm just imagining, Karen, the larger families, you know, people who've got three or more children all cramming around any available flat surface with laptops and multiple devices and then trying to clear that away at the end of the day to get dinner organised. It must have been a real nightmare for big families.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I just can't imagine what a lot of these people had gone through, having several kids myself, but a little bit older now. So, but these kids all working from, you know, the dad and the mum trying to work, and you're right, scrambling away school books and laptops to make room at the dining table to eat. And, you know, it really was a matter of saying, what can we move around or shift to actually accommodate for the family unit? It was a very tricky time for many people.
I remember going to Officeworks in March last year, and I said to the guy, I need an office chair for my home. And he just pointed towards the back of the store. So I walked to the back of the store, and there was one office chair left in the in the entirety of Officeworks. And I went back to the guy, and I said, where's the rest of the chairs? And he said, no, that's it. And I said, well, what about at your other stores? He said, no, lady, you don't understand. That is it. So I was sitting on a stool at home. It was very uncomfortable, I can tell you. What were some of the items that people were ordering in those early days?
Oh, it was massive. And we know that there was a shortage of electronics, particularly, you know, laptop computers, printers. But you're right, as far as home office equipment is concerned, desks, chairs, ergonomic equipment was another one which was really difficult to get your hands on. But also included home gyms, for example, people wanting to keep fit over this period of time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was a requirement to make space for sporting equipment and to keep everyone fit and healthy. So there was a real shortage in supplies across the board. But the ripple effect from COVID, which included furnishings in interior styling, interior design, materials for building works, everything was affected. Right. A lot of it comes in, it's shipped in from European countries, and those countries' factories closed down, so there was no one to be able to work the factories. Mm. There was no production in place. And then when it did come back on board, it was intermittent. And then, you know, the supplies were then affected by the shipping regulations and requirements worldwide. So, you know, we had docking issues and trying to get chips in, and, you know, customs issues, and there was transport issues on the ground when things actually got into Australia. So it was a really involved process across multiple industries that were affected by COVID and funneling back down to this actual conversation was how it infected our home lives. And it would be said, or no truer word was said, that it was definitely a lack of supplies for the home environment.
Yes, I was ordering a couch at just before lockdown, and it blew out from 3 months to 9 months.
Oh, I'm hearing
Oh,
you. I
yeah.
have lots of those rugs that would normally take a very, short time to come from overseas countries, or handmade items that, would normally have a lead time sort of 8, 9, 10 weeks. They blew out right out there to, as you're saying, 9 months. Crazy stuff. Crazy.
Karen Muller is an interior designer from Real Living Interiors. We're talking today about the changes to our homes since COVID. Karen, did you notice people wanting to make a delineation between spaces for work and spaces to relax in?
When there was the space to do so, yes. What we need to recognise here, Stacey, is not everyone has large homes that they've got the luxury of being able to disseminate between work and rest. It was a real issue for some people. So, yes, there was that requirement to make that delineation where possible. I found that there was a lot of homes that were turning garages into play spaces or into office spaces or multi-purpose spaces. So, that was a way to make space within the home. Screening was used quite a bit. So portable screening that could be picked up and put into place and then popped away again. Furniture that was actually that pulled down from the walls, for example, desks, additional desks. I know that there was one company in the local area. They used to do packaging, or they still do packaging. But during COVID, they had a brilliant idea because there was a shortage of going back to desks in the home offices. They ended up using their cardboard to make really sturdy desks, like study desks. And it was brilliant because the kids could write all over them and they were recyclable and they could be turfed afterwards. And yeah, it was about Stacey being creative where possible. But sometimes it's just, it's really tricky when there is no space to take. So it's about how can you use what is there in a more practical and functional way.
And I think just on that note about us all becoming, using our spaces more functionally and more practically, what happened to interior design over the last couple of years, Karen? Did that get left behind in the race for better functionality?
In the race of functionality, I would say yes. And the reason why I say that, Stacey, is because the ability to converse with clients was so limited. A lot of clients were left off their own back because of the restrictions that we were working around within the COVID period. So within New South Wales, for example, unless it was a new building site, and following the New South Wales restrictions of X amount of people on site, masked up, we still couldn't meet with the home residents. So it was very, very tricky. The design industry did get left behind because that ability to effectively communicate was reduced to Zoom calls. And when you're talking functionality, the ability to be able to see a space, the ability to move forward with design, it was really inhibiting. A lot of the industry's leads comes from overseas, from design and trade fairs, etc. And of course, they were all cancelled. So the industry was stunted for a while there during COVID. But I do believe in 2022, it'll absolutely come back with a vengeance, which is what we're actually seeing a surge of now.
All right, let's stop talking about functionality and let's start dreaming about creativity in our homes again. Colours, colour palettes, styles. What is in your crystal ball coming up? What are the trends, Karen?
So much fun. I love colour, love, love, love colour with a passion. You can't have colour without design. It is just not possible in my world. So some of the home trends for 2022, as far as colour is concerned. So Dulux has just put out their 2022 colour forecast, for example, and they've drawn on the environment three palettes, and they are Flourish, Restore, and wonder. That is
Oh,
what
they
they're
sound
called. They
lovely.
always name their habits. Oh, they are. They're so much fun. So with Flourish, for example, that really takes yourself down to a new sense of adventure and a passion for life. It is absolutely unapologetic and expressive with decadent fabrics like velvets and like warm hues. So if you think of like the Federation era of like reds and blues and greens and throw some tints and shades in there, basically white or black, and then you come up with this really moody palette of warm neutrals with these accent colors which are rich and deep. And then with that palette as well, they're putting pops of vintage, so a bit of gold in there, or you know, it's just you just want to put your fingers into it and just touch it and feel it. It's just beautiful. It's rich and it's gorgeous and it's decadent. And then the second one is called Restore. So that palette by the trend forecasters at Jewelux, they have brought together like forest greens and mosses and you know, pumice and clay. You think of Mother Nature, that is the palette of Restore.
Gorgeous.
And then last, oh, Stacey, can I come and redo your home in that palette? I'd love to. Just gorgeous. And then the next one is a little bit different. There's always one that's out there that's a little bit different. And this one is called Wonder. So this new trend coming up, it's all about reconnection and hope. So it reflects our desire to be less serious. And this one is about pastels and cauliflower blues and lilacs and lemons and rose golds. And this particular palette couples back with the furnishing trends of 2022. You'll see a lot of quaint florals with eclectic palettes and, you know, checks paired with sleek contemporary furniture. And then you've got needlepoint cushions with ribbed glass or woven rattan furniture. It's just crazy. It's a whole new world which we haven't seen for quite a long time.
Well,
It's going to be fun.
in those three groups, Karen, it sounds like there's something for everyone. To finish off our
Oh,
interview, we
yeah.
always ask our guests, what is the favourite part of your home?
Oh, that's a very good question as well. I would have to say my back barbecue entertaining area. I love it. You sit out there, it's breezy, it's light. We've got a really lovely view out there. The sun streams in. You can see the rest of the connected kitchen and living area. So we can open up the whole bifold doors. So everyone's connected. We've got our greenery, we've got the family, we've got our restful, calm area. If everyone wants to come together and join within that space, we can definitely do that. It's beautiful.
Karen Muller, it's been terrific to talk to you this afternoon. Thank you so much for giving us your insights. Karen Muller from Real Living Interiors.
Thank you, Stacey.
I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as we enjoyed recording it on My Home Life at Eastside Radio. And if you'd like to listen to us live each week, you certainly can. 89.7 FM on your dial or stream us live, eastsidefm.org, each Thursday from 5:30 p.m. And big thanks again to our show sponsor, Shaw Financial.